Highway. We're a group of agents from Outlander Travel who get together every week to talk about all things travel. Whether you've been listening for a while or are just tuning in, we're happy you found us. We truly believe that travel has the power to change the world, and we want to inspire others to come along with us. We chat about destinations, current events, our favorite experiences, and lots more. We'd love to hear your feedback and ideas for topics, so be sure to connect with us on our website, Facebook, or Twitter. Travel is more than the seeing of sights. It is a change that goes on deep and permanent in the ideas of living. My name is Sandy, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Lindsay, Donna, Laura, and Elizabeth. Because, as we have discovered and reaffirmed, you never really travel alone. The world is full of friends waiting to get to know you. So let's jump in. The Pacific Northwest corner of the continental United States is an area that is ever-changing. As part of the Ring of Fire, there are many volcanic wonders to behold and a constant cycle of devastation and renewal. The diversity of wildlife and plant life could fascinate anyone. There are alpine wonderlands and the only rainforest in the continental U.S. and beautiful deserts. Outdoor activities dominate here in both summer and winter. There are lots of activities to be done for the outdoor enthusiast. On the commercial side, the craft beer scene is a booming business with so many breweries to try. That is, of course, one of the reasons we love this area. Never mind all of the great cultural areas to discover. So let's get started. So Donna, you were just there. It sounds like you went to some breweries.
Just a few. We actually had a family reunion in Bend, Oregon. And so we actually flew into Portland and spent a lot of time in Bend. Went down to Crater Lake and then worked our way up to Seattle as a family and went to all the different, you know, big hot places to go, like Mount Rainier and Mount St. Helens and all those places that you've heard about if you've ever done any research up there.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And you went to Lindsay's, right? Or Lindsay came to you?
She met me at a brewery.
Oh, okay.
Of course. Which is pretty much like going to Lindsay's.
Yeah.
So this is where my beer is.
So before we start talking about it from a tourism perspective, I'd love to hear Lindsay's sort of take on living there and like what strikes you. I'm sorry, I'm putting you on the spot because we didn't put this in the show notes, but why do you think people come, you know, you live there all the time. So why do people come to your neck of the woods?
Because it's breathtakingly beautiful. It's so easy to take for granted when you see it day in and day out. And I suppose it's because I travel so often that I get that moment of, you know, catching my breath when I come home. And when you're, even when you're flying in the plane, if you have a really good view of the mountains, if you, you know, that first ferry ride back, it just always seems to take my breath away. And the climate here is very moderate. In August, and it's like summertime, from pretty much spring to early fall, this is like the place to be. It doesn't get too hot. It doesn't get too cold in the wintertime, at least not where I am. But I just think it's a very diverse, place to be. I mean, there are it was on the radio the other day, one of the public schools has like over 300 languages or something.
Wow.
Spoken in one, from 300 nationalities of kids in one school. So, I mean, from the food, there's so many different amazing food choices. Like you've mentioned in the intro, Sandy, there's a lot to do here for active people. Mm-hmm. It seems like you can't, I mean, someone like me who's not very active has to hunt really for lesser activities. even Mopop, even going to like the museum, I mean, it's all stairs. You really, I think it's just a variety of things, but there's a lot of beautiful nature, a lot of hiking and things like that. I think that draws people in.
So, Donna,
ecologically conscious up there, too.
Yes, very.
They want to protect what they have.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. Well, it sounds like they should. I mean, yeah. I'm looking forward to it. I'll be going there next week and seeing Lindsay and doing the Space Needle and the Chihuly Museum and stuff like that. So, very excited.
I'm so excited to see the... the new renovations. I've been before, but my mother-in-law and my niece are actually here right now. They've been here this past week, and I kind of held off. Josh is going to take them after I leave tomorrow and go do both of those things because I'm waiting till Sandy gets here. It's amazing when you live someplace how how you have to remind yourself to be a tourist in your own backyard. Like, we just came back from Friday Harbor. We were up in San Juan Islands. And
so what was that like?
Some of the best whale watching.
We went on a whale watching tour. It was fantastic. We actually got to see something very unique. We saw TC and her family. And I guess that's one of the families that people travel all over to try and see. Her 13-year-old male son has scoliosis, so he doesn't swim very fast. He's very slow, and so they actually are mammal-eating whales. They're
what?
Not the
what?
Ones that eat the swim.
Oh, okay.
They eat mammals.
I was thinking humans. Sorry.
No, they eat like seals and.
I thought they did eat mammals though. I thought
that's what she said. They eat
orcas. Yes.
Some of the orcas will eat like some whales eat salmon and things like that. But these ones eat specifically mammals. And if he had been a salmon eating one, he wouldn't have survived. But because he eats mammals, they like hunt for him and bring the food to him. And we got to see something really unusual. And I think I got I don't know how many pictures and 15,000 videos of it. But he was sleeping. We think he was sleeping. We first thought he was dead. and the company that does the whale tour that I went on was fantastic. They're favored among all the locals. And they were, the guy said, we've never seen this before. We just caught I think we caught a really intimate moment for that family of where they were letting him rest and they were kind of circling him and
neat.
Protecting him. And wow. it was really cool. But it is one of the most wonderful places, you know. Alaska, obviously, I think in the U.S. is the best place to go view wildlife. I'm a little biased, but I think the second best place would be here.
I agree.
So, by the way, those whales will eat people if prompted to. So that's Lindsay's plan, is she's going to feed you to the whales.
No, they don't hunt people in the wild.
If she makes me do a Segway tour, I'm. She tries to kill me.
I was trying to get her to go on a bear hike, but
yeah, that doesn't sound very Lindsay.
Without a guide and without any like professional with us, she wants to make her own bear expedition.
Don't do it, Lindsay.
It's walking distance. No,
don't
the
don't let her talk you into it. So, Donna, did you do whale watching while you were up there?
We ran out of time. We had such a tight schedule, and we didn't wake up in time.
Gotta get up early for this.
Because you've got to be down at the ferry dock.
Translated, the beer was sure good.
you have to leave the ferry docks at 8:15, and you know, and we were a good 45 minutes away from downtown Seattle. So,
so that's one of the reasons if you come to the Pacific Northwest, you really should think about making the San Juan Islands a stop on your trip. Because you have easier access to the whales. It's not as short. And they run trips during the morning. There was a 10 o'clock one we could have taken and the 5 p.m. And the 5 p.m. trip is the crew favorite because that's when you catch them hunting and you see they're a little bit more active. Plus, you get the beautiful sunsets and things like that. Mm-hmm. And I have to do a plug for the other wildlife here because everyone talks about the whales. But we saw so many awesome harbor seals. And we were told that last week, if we'd gone like last week, they kind of all left last week, but there were these giant sea lions. And I forget what they're called because I want to call them California sea lions, but they're not. They're the ones that are like the size of two grizzly bears.
Wow.
Good gravy.
Like and a walrus?
They look like the size of two grizzly bears. And if anybody ever listens to this, who knows who they are.
Make a comment on our Facebook page.
They're like whale sea lions or something.
Like they're enormous, and that would have been – so next year when I do it, I think I'm going to try and do it a month sooner to see if I can catch them. And but we saw so many cool animals, not just the whales.
Not getting eaten by the whales?
You guys have otters too, don't you?
Yeah, we do. The sea otters are really hard to see. We actually, I've been out here like over six years, and we just once saw river otters playing down by the ferry dock, and that's only because my husband works second shift, and it was late at night, and we were kind of waiting for the boat to take us back to the island, and we just happened to see like four or five of them swimming around and playing. But the sea otters, it's kind of, there's one, I guess, on that route where we were named Ollie. They named, the crew named him Ollie, that they'll see sometimes out there. But they're a little harder to peg down and see.
That's the one, there's a viral video going around right now with a sea otter that climbed into a guy's kayak. Have you seen that?
Oh, no, because that's adorable. I was afraid he was going to rip the guy's face off.
No. And, so but he didn't. So he fell asleep. He's so cute.
I was too far away to get it, but when we did our whale tour, all the boats communicate with each other, and all those tours really do share information about where the different pods are and where to kind of go. And they were saying over the radio that one of the boats that we could see off in the distance, there was a big float of sea kelp, and there was a harbor seal on it that was just statue still and had been for like hours because it knew the orcas were in the area.
I don't know if I can take the circle of life.
I'm invisible.
Yeah, we'll have to do that next time because Connor has already said, he's like, we're definitely coming back here.
Oh, that's cool.
So there are, Lindsay, are there a lot of places to stay on the San Juan Islands? There are a lot of choices.
Oh, yeah, there are tons of, in fact, Snug Harbor Resort, which is where we took our a tour from. There's some awesome, like, 1 and 2 bedroom, 3 bedroom cabin things you can rent. There's, we stayed at Earthbox Inn in Friday Harbor, and I've stayed there a couple times now, and I really love them. It's like an old motel that was remade into like a new age, kind of very pet friendly, very eco-conscious. They have a spa there. They've got a pool and things like that. There's tons of places. You can even rent a boat. You can even sleep on a houseboat out there if you really wanted to.
So this Lindsay, is... are they stellar sea lions?
I think that might be what they were. I mean, I didn't actually get to see him. It was the guy talking about him. And so we get to see that bird that dives 50 feet down in the water.
Wow.
He came flying up out of the water right in front of the boat.
Wow.
And then went right back down, and it was really neat. They dive 50 feet to fish. And we got to see a private island that was like, is for sale. It's like Spinger Island or whatever is like $44 million.
So this is a rookie question, but are the San Juan Islands still part of Washington State?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, they are. We actually cheated a little bit, and a lot of the whale tours will cheat, and you actually go up to BC.
Okay.
You can, you know, and then they're really nice about the whale, letting the whale tours just kind of hop, border hop a little bit.
That's cool.
But you never get on land, so.
No, you don't. You're on the boat, so. But it's so beautiful out there. It's really worth seeing. I mean, it's such a kind of like that quaint, but I don't want to say fishing village type, touristy fishing village type feel to it. And there's lots of great little restaurants and things like that, and some amazing fish and chips. And it's a good time. It's a very good time. And it's something it's making a mental note to do more of. I think we should go more than just once a year.
Speaking of food, I mean, they have some of the most authentic foods there, and it's one of those, it's a huge melting pot of restaurants and all. You can't throw a stone and hit a bad restaurant because, you know, they just don't exist up there.
Definitely. I think the hardest thing is deciding where you're going to eat, because there are so many choices. And so when you did Pike's Market, did you spend a whole day down there, Donna?
I did, and we ate at the Athenian restaurant, which is actually in the market, and I had this crab that was the size of my head. It took me an hour to eat, but it was, that's why I went there. That's what I wanted. Yeah.
That's, like, I could just graze my way through the market. You just really have to plan on going early and go hungry and then just kind of let your nose, I've done the food tour down there 3 times now, and every time I've gotten different.
And you know it's all fresh.
Yeah.
Because the stalls, the produce stalls, and the flower stalls, and the seafood stalls, and the spices, I mean, they and just the flowers, eat that stuff.
And the flowers, like, can you believe the size and the variety of flowers that you get for, like, I think $10 a bouquet? Where else are you going
to get that? FDA has nothing on the flower markets at Pike Place Market.
That is, and I bought, when we first moved out here, it was one of the first places we went, and I bought one of those, like, sprayed bouquets. The kind that are dried and then sprayed so they last forever. And I mean, it's still sitting on my kitchen table. It still looks like I just bought it yesterday.
I had them, but then when they moved, they kind of got. Go ahead, Lindsay.
No, sorry. I just love to go down there and eat.
Oh, yeah.
That's all I was going to say.
Yeah, Seattle's one of my favorite places in the world. For a long time, I wanted to move there. I love being down at Pike's Place, you know, the Pike's Market, and I used to go walk through there, and then I had a friend who was over in Bremerton, which is across the way, and she would drop me off when she went to work at the Naval Hospital, and I'd take the ferry across to Seattle and spend the day there by myself and then come back. And I'm not a big pizza fan, and when I have my beer, it has to be ice cold. I'm a great person to go drinking with because I'm probably never going to finish my beer. as soon as it starts to even get a tinge of warm, I don't want it anymore. Mm-hmm. So it's good to sit next to me, and I'll just keep handing off to you after the first three sips. But there used to be a place right down on the waterway that had the hottest, cheesiest pizza and the ice coldest beer. Mm-hmm. And you could sit outside like at picnic tables. Or on their deck and watch the ships come in the waterway. And there's a, you know, just a plethora. It's like a melting pot of all different multiculturalism. Mm-hmm. I absolutely love Seattle. So, except that what do they call it? The slug is Washington's national animal or something because it rains so much there, but
I have to say, like, it doesn't rain as much as, like, I think, I mean, it rains a lot, but it's nowhere near, and maybe I'm a little biased because I'm not on the island, so I've got the rain shadow, so I'm not getting as much as Seattle does, but I haven't seen it ever rain as hard in Seattle as it does in the south, like in Florida. Like, yeah. I think Florida gets more rain in one day.
I think the difference, I don't think it ever pours in Seattle. I don't think that's it. It's that it constantly rains. It's like a drizzly, yeah.
It's like a drizzly. Yeah. You don't even need an umbrella. You can always spot the tourists.
Noted.
Don't use umbrellas. It's not like
everybody just wears you wear your Gore-Tex and you go camping in the rain, you go hiking in the rain,
that's the thing too. Yeah, life does not stop with the drizzle. Like, there's no picnics canceled, there's no parties, we got invited to like a shooting party one time, and I thought for sure because it was raining that we were canceling the whole thing, but nope, grilling outside.
Yeah. Yep.
Nice.
So, Donna, did you do any other outdoorsy? We talked about food and we talked about beer. I feel like we've checked off the Outlander necessities. So we might as well talk about camping, which is the Outlander nobody does.
I camp.
Well, actually, what I did is I went to Mount Hood Meadows to go to the ski resorts there. The great thing is in the winter months, they have all the skiing and all that kind of stuff, which is really, really, really great skiing. But in the summer months, they've got mountain biking and alpine slides and ropes courses and frisbee golf. And those were the things. I mean, we still rode the gondolas up Mount Hood and got to about 10,000 feet.
Wow.
But, you know, and then kind of played around up there. But they still have all those activities. You can go whitewater rafting on the Deschutes River. And we were going to go tubing, but then we learned that it was 57 degrees, which was the temperature.
Did they give you wetsuits? My God.
We said, no, I don't think so.
Yeah, it's cold water out here.
Yes. Well, it's all mountain water. So they do have all the water activities, but you might want to dress in a shorty or a wetsuit.
Mm-hmm.
It's really neat that you say that because I think a lot of people wouldn't think that there is that much going on at a ski resort in the summertime, but there are the ropes courses and the frisbee golf and
Oh, yeah. Well, they got to make money in the summer months.
It's my turn for a rookie question, because I've heard this term before, but I've yet to actually see one. What is an alpine slide? Is it like this big slip and slide that they set up on the mountainside? What is it?
No, it's like a regular slide. It's like a fiberglass slide like you find at a playground, but it's probably a good 400 feet long, and you actually drive on a sled. You have this sled that you actually, it has a handbrake on it, so it's almost like a luge.
A luge, I was going to say. Okay, so it's like Jamaican bobsledding is what you're saying, kind of.
Yes, yes, and you make sure that you use the brake, because I didn't and wiped out.
Oh, is that what the picture was with your arm all wrapped up?
And I'll tell you, you know, it itches like the Dickens, because there's fiberglass in my arm.
Oh man.
Yeah. I'm glad I asked.
Make sure you use the brake, because if you get going too fast, you're going to wipe out.
All right, so now I know what an alpine slide is, and I also know that I never want to do it. So
let's talk about that, because you had mentioned the Mopop Museum, and I know Lindsay just went there. What is that?
Oh my gosh.
Go ahead, Donna. It used to be called the Experience Music Project, and it was basically a tribute to all the music of the Pacific Northwest. So it was Jimi Hendrix and the grunge movement and funk. And they've actually kind of evolved it into the Museum of Pop Culture.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, so it's not just music anymore.
It's not just music anymore. It's everything.
Go ahead, Lindsay.
It's everything from horror movies to science fiction, science fantasy. It's just this amazing kind of a snapshot of the different genres of our pop culture. And there's still, like, I think they just added they just added Pearl Jam.
Oh,
so they're still focusing on the Pacific Northwest. So, like, they have a whole section devoted to Twilight or something.
Oh, God, no. I don't think there's anything in there for
really?
Twilight. I didn't see anything.
No. It actually is one of the Microsoft executive's private collection of his movie memorabilia.
Oh. Cool.
Yeah.
So there was a Terminator, and there was an Alien, and there was Freddy Krueger, and some of the Highlander movies. It was that kind of movie memorabilia.
Yeah, like Jason Voorhees and Michael Myers, and there's so much, and Gizmo
from Gremlins.
There's so much that I wasn't expecting to see in there. All the costumes from The Princess Bride, and
some of them from Wizard of Oz.
Mm-hmm. And then they have the traveling exhibit there right now, which is Marvel. Which is really cool. I don't know if you... Did you have to stand in line when you went... Did you go see the Marvel?
Actually, I sent the kids, and we set out, and I took a nap.
Oh, I loved it. It was amazing, and we had to stand in line to wait to get in. But one of the guys there brought out the guitar and was singing, and sang a Spider-Man theme song, the cartoon. It was really funny. But it was cute. It was cute. And then when we got in there, we were just kind of blown away. And, you know, anybody who's a comic fan, it's really, if you're a Marvel fan, if you're interested in that at all, you'd absolutely love it. Some of the private sketches from Jack Kirby. So there were some art pieces that were painted specifically for that exhibit. It's kind of like a geek's, dream come true. So if I don't know if it's going to be a traveling thing, if it's going to go somewhere else, if it leaves, But it was definitely worth seeing, and I look forward to seeing it again with Sandy and kind of going through and.
You know, another thing I want to do is the Chihuly Museum, and we have a connection right now because there's a Chihuly exhibit at Biltmore.
East meets West.
Yeah.
I've seen Chihuly glass. This is so funny because going with you will be the first time I'm in there, but I've seen Chihuly glass almost every single place I've been. They're commissioned to do the giant chandeliers for most of the hotels.
Mm-hmm.
Like in
public art spaces.
Yeah, all the art spaces. So I've seen the glass everywhere, but I'm really looking forward to that. Did you? How much time did you spend there, Donna? Were you?
We only had a day to spend in that area, and it's right at the base of the Space Needle. Mm-hmm. But I have done the Pacific Science Center when I lived up there. Great place to take your kids. Lots of buttons and things for them to play with. So it's a great kid-friendly museum to go to.
Ooh, on a geeky side note, so when we were there, we were at MoPop the day before yesterday, the Mini Makers Fair was going on. So we got to see them laser etching and making laser printing things, 3D printing things, and it was just, there was some robotics exhibits and things like that. But Seattle has a ton of those little fairs and things that come through that are tech, surrounding technology and things like that, that I think some of the kids that we were watching there were just having like the time of their life learning about robotics and things like that. It was really kind of neat to see.
Cool. So I want to make sure that we talk a little bit about Oregon. Poor little Oregon. and it's such a beautiful state as well. So you were there for quite some time, and I've actually been out to Bend, and I've done some rafting out there. Did you raft while you were out there? I know you were there for reunion, so you might
know. We found out how cold the water was, and we said, uh-uh.
Okay, same deal, yeah.
No, so what we did actually that day is we drove down to Crater Lake, and we were going through the high desert. It's funny because you don't think of Oregon and Washington as actually having deserts, but they do. On the east side of the Cascades, the west side is where all the moisture is. On the east side, it's actually very desert-like. So we drove down to Crater Lake, which is very much like Northern California and Lake Tahoe. Mm-hmm. You have the tall trees, which are similar. And it was really great because we drove down there and we were warned that with all the wildfires that we probably wouldn't be able to see anything. But we had about 30, 45 minutes of absolutely beautiful, clear skies and got to see everything. But when the smoke changed directions, it was a matter of about 15 minutes and then the lake was gone.
Wow.
You couldn't see it at all. So it's one of the deepest lakes in the continental U.S. And it's not fed by anything. It's all runoff from snow and moisture, rain coming out of the sky. There's no rivers or anything. It's just a standalone lake. Mm.
So what else did you do while you were in Portland? Because I know that I've had a very limited experience with Oregon, only going into Portland twice.
We went to Portland, and we, of course, are big Triple D fans. So we went to a Triple D restaurant. It was a German place, had some really awesome sausages and, of course, really good beer. We went downtown to Portland, and they have on Tuesdays in the summer at noon, they have live music in the middle of the downtown area, and you just kind of wander over. They've got food trucks, and you can kind of just wander in and listen. They had all the visitor centers, and they had some of the radio stations out there. It was really quite a fun little pop-up street fair.
Every time I think of Portland, I think of that show Portlandia.
I haven't seen that.
The 90s are alive and well in Portland. Yeah. It's really funny.
Yeah,
but we're also outdoorsy folks, so I wanted to go to the Columbia store. Mm-hmm. So we did that. On the way into into Portland, we actually went to Multnomah Falls, which is one of the falls that that area is known for. And it's a very tall waterfall. What's great is it's right off the expressway. So all you do is you actually pull off almost like into a rest area. You go under the you walk under the highway, and you're right there.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
So no big hiking.
To hike
for all
to the waterfall.
All you non-hikers out there.
Yay.
When you were in Washington, did you go to the big REI store? I'm sure you've been there before.
Of course. Of course, we had to go to the flagship store.
There's a real,
Go ahead, Laura.
There's a really great train that the Amtrak Cascade runs between Seattle and Portland. For any of our folks who are listening who'd want to tack it on to a beginning and end of a trip, and it's inexpensive, and the train ride is supposed to be stunning. It goes all up the coast of Oregon and Washington. It's supposed to be amazing. So it actually continues up into Vancouver, but...
Vancouver's not that far. It's only about a 3-hour drive. Mm-hmm. And that's the great thing about Seattle is that in 3 hours, you can pretty much be in any direction. There's something really cool to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Portland has a Timberline, I know, is one of their ski resorts. That's beautiful out there also. It's got a great lodge. And
that's where we were. We were actually at the Timberline ski resort as well. That's where we rode the gondolas.
And for those of us who drink, not that many of us do, some of the best wines, especially the Pinot Noir, Oregon is famous for their Pinot Noirs. And whenever I have a friend, except this time I didn't ask Donna to do it, but whenever I have a friend go to Oregon, I'm like, can you please buy me a bottle of wine that's like $50 or less? Because that same bottle, if you can find it here, is going to be $80 or more. Hmm. It's so good. The wine is just so good.
You could have asked.
I know, but I didn't want to bother you to bring back stuff. I knew you had a whole family. So, well, and I had just made Walter do it like a few months ago.
Also, all the ciders, because, you know, that's huge apple country.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cool.
That's where the apples and the pears come from. Most of them in the United States come from that area.
Yep. Yeah. Nice. All right. Well, that is our show for this week. Thank you for hanging out with us. We would love for you to share your life-changing travel moments with us on our Facebook page. You can find us on Facebook as Fly Away or from the podcast page on OutlanderTravel.com. Please be sure to subscribe to us and leave a review in iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. We'd love to hear from you. On behalf of Elizabeth, Lindsay, Donna, Laura, and myself, Sandy, thanks for joining us this week, and we'll see you next time. Gotta fly!